Welcome, everybody. This is SharePoint Weekly, episode 65. It is the first episode of the 2020, and there's actually quite a lot to talk about. So last time we recorded an episode in mid-December, wasn't it?
Correct.
Something like that. Okay. And there's quite a lot of actually articles. But before we go to the articles, we wanted actually already last time, there's two things which we promised to do in the episode 64. First of all, we said SharePoint Framework 1.10 is going to be released within upcoming days, which didn't happen.
Well, the days are still coming.
That's relative, indeed. That's highly relative. Now it seems to be within the upcoming days. Actually, this video should go out after the release has happened. So we'll see what's going
to
happen.
So if not, we encourage you to rewatch the video after V1.10 has shipped, so that we are correct.
That is true. That's true. There's some few really cool things in 1.10. Obviously, there's the personal application support for Teams, which and we need to get some more additional guidance on that one. And our Teams documentation is updated. But then the office settings thingy with SharePoint Framework, super cool stuff. And then the query extension is quite cool as well, as we're able to modify the query extensions, which requires some settings and all of that. But more on that in the documentation. But the second thing, what we wanted to actually do before we go again to the articles, we completely forgot about, by the way, introducing ourselves, is that we promised to do predictions for 2020, right?
Yes.
I think we did.
Well, so originally we wanted to do prediction for the coming 10 years, I believe, but challenging. So
yes, predictions for this year would be probably easier. But let's do it in a way that now that we don't have visitors, please introduce yourselves, just in case, for those who haven't actually listened. This is SharePoint Dev Weekly. This is episode 65. We are horrible on doing introductions.
We're learning. I mean, it's an ongoing effort, right?
That is true. That is true.
So on this side of the mic, yes, on this side of the mic, my name is Valim Tykacz. I am head of product at Rancor, MVP, and I lead some of the PMP efforts.
Yep. And this side of the house, my name is I'm a principal program manager on the SharePoint engineering and leading some of the PMP efforts. So
now that we have formalities out of our way, predictions.
Which
looking
is actually
in your magic eight ball, going to happen in 2020?
What's going to happen in this year? So obviously, in my side of the house, because I'm from the SharePoint engineering side of the house, well, obviously SharePoint is more, we have more presentability on SharePoint. But then again, I think what we'll see within this year in 2020 is much more combined efforts. So a lot of these things like Teams and Craft and everything else is getting much, much, well, Craft obviously is already like merged between everything, but more and more services are getting merged with everything. Like Taxonomy service is going to be Office 365 wide or Microsoft 365 wide, whatever that means. Or other services, Project Cortex is not positioned as a service within SharePoint. It is positioned as a service across the whole platform. And that's clearly one thing and a growing theme in the Microsoft side of the house. And then, for example, the development side of the house, one unified UX framework does make sense. We're getting there with the SharePoint framework VNX. We talked about that one a few times already last year and did some demos even on it in Ignite, which is pretty cool. And with Office add-ins and Teams development support for SharePoint framework, it's pretty logical where we're heading, hopefully by end of 2020 already. So let's see how fast we can get there. There's a vision and then there's the delivery, which is
two different.
Yeah, exactly. The reality and then the wishes. So somebody needs to actually deliver as well. What else would be interesting, at least from my perspective? More and more, obviously, Craft. Teams is a big thing. We've been pushing Teams. It's going to continue being a big thing. Every single fiscal year, there's a one thing what Microsoft keeps on pushing, a primary thing, and now it's been Teams. What will be the next one, we'll see. The fiscal in our side ends by end of the June, and then we'll always get a new objectives for the next 12 months. So maybe it's the Power Platform, definitely a growing
Project
platform as well.
Cortex.
Project Cortex, definitely. That's a wider thing. Now, Teams is a kind of logical thing. If you think about that from an end-user adaption perspective, it's really around the fact that every single end-user as a consumer or as an enterprise developer, or as an enterprise user, can use Teams because that's how we communicate. Now, let's say Power Platform, not necessarily consumer side of the house, but definitely makes more sense for all of the enterprise users. Cortex, yeah, definitely. Let's say, do they actually configure and use the Cortex? They use it from a application perspective. Do they actually do stuff behind the scenes? Not necessarily, but yeah, that could be one option, definitely.
Well, but I guess, well, it depends a little what it's going to be in the end, right? Because in the end, I kind of assume that it will be a set of experiences that we interact with no matter where you are. If you're in an email, it's there. And if you're in Teams, it's there. If you're on the phone, it's there. If you're in SharePoint, it's there. Yep. So it's basically everywhere where you want it to be or where you expect it to be, it's there. And maybe at some point will be also, or let me rephrase that, I would expect it to be also a part of the Power Automate, Power Apps, right? Yep. That you can tap into the same insight, the same info. Yep. Exactly, right? So it's these like underlying fabric behind all of the services with which we yep. interact, meaning yep. that there is also an API available to us whenever we build something on SPFX or the next version of SPFX, that we can tap into the same insight for yep. the custom experiences that we build ourselves.
Yep, absolutely. And the same applies for, well, that's a good example of the fact that if you think about the predictions, definitely, and I have more insights than I'm allowed to actually talk openly, but more and more we are seeing kind of a consolidated experiences as well, which is a smart thing to do as well, because a lot of the feedback what we're getting from a Microsoft is the confusion. When would I use which tool? Why do you have five yeah. different tools for the same thing? Or why do you have multiple, let's say, if you think about this from a development perspective, why do we have a separate tenant admin app catalog for Teams and then for SharePoint? Because you're actually using the same code in both. Well, yeah, that makes sense to have a one and then actually getting across the whole service. So,
well, I mean, I totally understand why it used to be like that, but sure. that doesn't mean that at some point, when things have proven that they are there to stay, that you want to bring them together into one and offer yeah. one cohesive experience, as opposed to, because originally we'd run two experiments, meaning Teams and something else, and we didn't want to waste time trying to find the best way to integrate them because nobody really knew if it would stick.
Yep.
So that's why they're separate. But now we've seen the evidence that things are here to stay. Things work, things stick, people appreciate them. So now it's time to spend maybe cycles and integrate them, offer cohesive experience to both the users and the devs. And also admins.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. So what would be coming in your mind on the predictions of 2020? These are always funny because you have no idea, but it's
well, yes, but I would say 2020 is the year when we finally see the, I would not want to call it CSOM, but it is CSOM. I would want to see a cross-platform SharePoint SDK. And yep. it will be CSOM, but I'd like to maybe also modernize the name and like step away from the CSOM client side. Well, nowadays, everything you do on clients. You don't deploy anything on service anymore. So sure. the client side OM name is kind of weird because, well, client side, but isn't the browser client side or yeah, the computer server, my server client side? We're like, no. So we will have 2020 for me is the year when we will have cross-platform SDK for SharePoint. We already have it for Graph. Yeah. No. Okay. No, we don't. That's not related to SharePoint, but that is from the identity point of view. I think that we would get, I'd love to see more parity in there and more feature completeness across the board. And the funny yep. thing is that like every single time I raise a point, I get a question like, okay, so how many folks more would we get if we invest the time in this? Like, yeah, yeah. I know, but the
that's
argument.
A
I know the choice.
Discussion. Yeah, exactly.
Yes, it is. It is. But it is. Yeah, it is the hard choice between behind building a product.
Sure.
Like, sure. Where do you invest in? What's going to move the needle the most?
Yep. Yeah. And when you think about it, Microsoft, they say, well, nowadays, again, Apple bypassed us as the most expensive company in the world. But
yeah,
the
number
one objective for these things is anyway for Microsoft is to make money. How do we how much more money we make with this investment. That is the driving factor. Absolutely.
Yeah, but it's the same thing, right? Because you make money directly from services you build, offer, and support, but also from the platform features that you offer to partners who can then earn money for you and who can bring the customers.
Which is slightly more difficult than it's still slightly
it's a longer direct road.
Money. Exactly.
It is a longer road, right? Because eventually the customers will buy the licenses or choose to stay as opposed to go elsewhere if the feature set that they get is compelling enough and allows them to achieve whatever they want to do with it, right?
Yep.
But it's not as tangible that you can say, if we ship this API to SPFX, we will get 10x in the license. Like, no, like you don't know that.
Yep. No, that is true. That is true. And also, to be fair, I think it's for those who, when we talk about the licensing, Microsoft, we are really bad on the licensing terms and rules and everything else. So I think it's a fair feedback, which we need to fix as well. Hopefully by 2020, we can have a clarification in certain areas where we're getting feedback all the time. Now, the Office 365 or Microsoft 365 E3, E5, I think that's super clear because you get a certain plump of functionalities and features based on the investment per account. But then
it's per user.
It's super clear how much it's going to cost you. No additional cost. And that's really one of the reason why the Office 365 has been so tremendously successful. There's no unknown costs related behind of the scenes. So sure, change management and adaption behind of the company is a cost as well, but you can predict that. It's not like you're hosting the service. So I think we need to get more clarity on those things as well. So people will know how much things will cost if they consume certain services in the platform as well.
Yeah.
What else? On the non-technical side of the house, I would hope, and I'm crossing fingers, that 2020 is the year of being kind and friendly. I think more and more, it's actually, I would say, it's visible across the board, at least in my social media bubble, where people are more and more being, let's say, promotive and active on sharing is caring, being kind, helping each other, and really kind of a building stuff together rather than competing and no, this is my precious. I'm not going to tell anybody that I have this. But what is going to benefit if it's over there and nobody knows about it? So what if you would share and then we'd be making magic things together? So I think we've been doing that within the SharePoint side of the house already for quite a long time, but more and more we can see that kindness and friendliness and community-driven thinking across the board, which is great.
Yeah. One thing that I'd love to see, and I'm not sure if 2020 is long enough for that, but one thing I'd love to see is to get a cohesive experience or image towards the world regarding the dev program, like M365 dev.
Yep.
It's one thing. It's not SharePoint dev and a little bit of graph and a little bit of this. No, it's M365 because we've seen it over the last few years, especially in a cloud, when majority of work was being done on-prem, things were different. Nowadays in a cloud, when you talk to SIs especially, they build things that span SharePoint and Power Platform and Teams and Graph and Identity. That is their reality. And oftentimes they want to have resources and their entry point is, this is what I want to build. This is the challenge I have. What are the building blocks that I have? And to them, it's irrelevant that, but in Redmond, it's five teams.
Different organization. Yeah, and it shouldn't be
I don't care.
Definitely.
Exactly.
Yes, nobody cares. The customers and partners should not
care. Should be organized the same way. Things should be done the same way. And I realize it's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard because it's different teams, different opinions, different priorities. But if you think about the customer in the end, I think that would be a huge step towards increasing adoption and helping developers work more efficiently.
Yep. And not only developers, but also the non-developers.
Exactly. It's the same
it's
for admins.
It's a gray area anyway. What's a developer? What's not a developer? So, where does the Power Apps platform falls into? Is it a end user, developer, whatever it is?
I recall the other day you shared a link where there was somebody who said like, so in Power Apps, you can do this no-code thing. And there's like a page of a JSON string or was it a formula? I was like, wow, that's not no code, really.
No code.
Yeah, and then it was a page full of code in VS Code with a beautiful Matrix style theme. Yep. And it only proves the point. Like the same thing in Excel. Excel is, it can be a tool in which you draw a table or a square or a circle. Yep. But it can also be used for statistics, predicting trends, data analysis, really advanced things. And not to mention things like macros and have it with the script lab. You can just put in JavaScript code in there.
Yep.
So it's all over the place. It ranges from a very simple thing to a very powerful tool that you have available.
Absolutely. And then bridging that gap maybe for the non-dev people to understand more on the dev side of the house, whatever is the actual, because there should not be a kind of a border or wall between these things. It should be just freely, you can actually flow between the different areas. And then there are decisions done by the tenant administrator and the IT where what we can do and what we cannot do within our company.
And also it's odd, right, that we had originally we would have docs for devs, docs for IT pros.
Yeah, well, this is such a classic discussion, indeed. And,
but oftentimes, and I recall that one of the first projects that I would do in SharePoint 2007, like we would build internet site. And back then, our experience was ASP.NET.
Yep.
So what we would do, if you wanted to have an overview of news, we would call the API, server-side API, build an ASP.NET repeater and all that. Like we didn't even know that there is this thing called content query web part that you can just drag and drop and style the UI, but not rebuild the logic. Why?
Yeah.
Because from the functional point of view, we didn't know what was available in a box. So at that point, like, yes, I am a dev, I'm trying to accomplish something, but if I were to look at the functional building blocks that are there, I would be 80% there, maybe even more.
True. Absolutely. Which also empowers the non-devs to achieve exactly the same end results, right?
Exactly.
Which is an interesting dimension on all of the discussion. So what is the future of devs? No, just kidding. I think there will be. They are here to stay. Definitely. There's the development side of the house, but still the people transitioning between the different roles, I think, or different... Well, roles is probably the right term to actually use. So you as a persona, you can actually be an end user or a administrator or as a developer, as long as the guidance is good enough and as long as it's not hidden and scattered, which is it partly it is right now, which is a pity. Because it's hard to find what's possible because it's in so many different locations. So good. Should we go to the articles? So
let's do that because there are quite a few of them.
There's quite a few articles, amount of articles. So let's actually at least quickly scan on all of them through. So let me share my screen. We are doing this in 4K today. So this one, official SharePoint roadmap pit stop. So this is the one which we're always in the SharePoint, official SharePoint blog releasing. Mark Cashman is from our product marketing. There's typically a intro zone article there, with this time with Karen. And then there's the latest around the different things which are actually coming, audience targeting for organizational news, super important thing, definitely. So you can target based on the persona, based on the crew, based on the things what you actually have created. So super interesting. File upload for Microsoft Forms coming as well. That's actually really interesting as well. Multiple updates for SharePoint Admin Center, replacing root site. That's actually pretty cool. So
yes,
for now, I have been forced to use a PowerShell to make this happen.
Or CLI.
I believe. But now you can actually do it in the admin UI. Now, to be fair, it's a fair question to maybe ask that how many times do you actually flip the root site? So is this a functionality
where
you want to actually spend exactly?
But hey, twice. You flipped it, then it worked. Feature.
Yeah, exactly. More permission panel, more information around the access of site. Super important for administrators to understand what's actually happening and how people are using this. Customizable navigation pane, so you can actually select what are the functionalities which are available in here. Super cool as well. More features page where we have classic features which are still definitely active, but they haven't been modernized from a UI perspective. Teamwork updates across SharePoint Team Sites, OneDrive, and Teams. New modern list features. That's pretty cool. Team list customizations over there, and you can actually use exactly the same rendering inside of Teams as well. So you can expose the Teams, the SharePoint list inside of the Teams as a tab, and then work on business related data on there. Formatting options, actually pretty complex. It is evolving all the time. It's great to see that this is catching up on the vision, so you don't have to understand JSON as such.
So the question is, will it work? Or let me rephrase that. 2020 is the year where view formatting will work in edit mode.
We'll see. This one is not an editing. Yeah, that's a good question. We'll see. Alternative roles, you can actually do those as well. Retirement of SharePoint Classic and Delve blocks, we mentioned that one. We talked about that one a few times already. Microsoft Flow is buying Microsoft Power Automate, nothing new. We know about that one as well. But it's now it's getting actually changed in the UI as well. So it's Automate, not Flows. So
this is Automate, but you create Flows.
You create flows, but the whole point here is actually that
Automate, yes.
Has been changed as well. So, progressive web apps, teaser prediction, custom search results, pages for SharePoint sites. That's actually pretty cool. SharePoint page version history as well. Don't tell anybody. I think we just blew the cover.
Well, they said tell everyone.
Was it? What?
Yes. Tell everyone. Yes.
Tell everyone. Yeah, that's true. That is true. I think the modern search is definitely one of the things where we need to invest in the future. There's a ton of stuff happening there as well during spring 2020. Now, the other articles. So this one is a great one from Cameron Wire. He's an MVP driving the OnePlace Mail, OnePlace organization. This is a nice, let's say, promotion for his services, which have been built for Office add-ins and actually for SharePoint and Teams as well, and around what has been built and why they're actually building stuff for the Microsoft 365, because, well, there's, what, 1.2 billion users using Microsoft 365 right now?
Just,
so it's a big opportunity. but to be fair, we need to definitely work on the partner, let's say, opportunities this side much more and exposing them much more efficiently for everybody. Now, what happened also during the past weeks, Patrick Rogers, BMPJS version 2.0 is out. So a lot of likes. It is super widely used. So people love BMPJS, and I'm not surprised. It is so easy to access SharePoint REST APIs.
Well, you could say that is the de facto standard for JavaScript or TypeScript.
True. True.
SDK.
For accessing information in SharePoint, absolutely, yeah, it is absolutely great. And there's a transition guide already available from version 1.0 to 2.0. One of the key points in 2.0 is that you can actually reduce the bundle sizes, so you don't have to bundle the BMPJS completely. You can target what are the things what you use. There's a lot of other improvements in the BMPJS as well in the 2.0 release. So please give us feedback on that one. Patrick is more than interested on your feedback around what's actually happening there. Now, on the upcoming weekend, there's the SharePoint Saturday Virginia Beach coming. So 3 days, 9 hours, and 1 minute, and 0 seconds. There's a lot of sessions on the different topics. And obviously, it's the SharePoint Office 365 Teams, Power Platform, everything is going to be covered here. So super, super wide set of sessions, and that clearly has to be multiple tracks because there's so many sessions happening. But let's have a look on that. Three tracks as expected. So,
no, there's four.
Oh, there's more. There's more. Right. Yeah, that's true. There's actually more than that.
Five, six, seven, or eight.
Wow,
yeah,
that's a lot of tracks and a lot of sessions, but I think that's great. It shows the interest on all of this Microsoft 365 capabilities which are being introduced and covered here. So SPFX view, Power Platform, Teams, all of that stuff. Awesome schedule. Now, on other topics, let's go to the blog post on the PMP, MVPs and other community members. This is from Yannick, Explore Microsoft Graph Subscriptions. So basically, building those subscriptions, subscribing to events when something is happening in Microsoft Graph. So you'll get events to your webhook. Really, really cool story. and how things actually can be taken into use. This one is from Jarbars Horst from Valo Intranet. Just a good note, this is actually a quite useful blog post related on, hey, apparently there are limitations on these properties in the group. And it's good to get those stored. If we have failed on the documentation on Microsoft side of the house, this is a great way of sharing those numbers. So, no doubt, a lot of value. This one was good from Abby Albertian from Portiva, a Windows terminal profile for Office 365 CLI. I'm still using the Commander. But I'm in progress of kind of this starts looking so good that you can actually have multiple tabs in the Windows command line, and then you can have a specific tabs with specific settings, and that looks super, super interesting. So definitely looking into on transitioning here sooner or later. And you can style it and all of that like in the same way as a commander. But
yeah,
the old habit dies so hard, right?
Yeah,
you get used to using something, it's so hard to move.
Absolutely. And I guess at some point, like, you want to spend time on doing that, or you want to spend a limited time on doing something else,
exactly.
Right? So it's like, at the end of the day, it's all about times and priorities.
Sure. And it's anyway, it's a command line. It doesn't matter. As long as it's a command line, it works. That's it.
Yeah, but I mean, if you spend much time in there, you want it to work nicely.
True.
And the other day, there was an article, I'm not sure if that was by Scott Hanselman or somebody else, who said that in the old ConEmu, so the console emulator that we had in CMD, if you would run a tool that would run over some period of time, the machine would slow down a lot, because every update would need to repaint the whole thing, and it would just like hog memory. Exactly. So the new terminal does not have the thing, and actually the trick there was to minimize command prompt while the tool worked, because then it would not need to do the repaint, which is silly, but that's the way it works.
Interesting. Now, moving on here, this is from Tahoe Ninjas. This is Hugo, right?
Yes, all the way up. Yes,
Hugo Brunier. Absolutely. So SPFX compatibility matrix, really good stuff. We should actually have this one in our official documentation as well. So making sure that you understand what TypeScript version and what React version you can actually use, on which version you have to use when you're SharePoint Server 2006, as an example. So really good blog post, just to make sure that everybody has access on this information. Now, this one is from Marcus Miller around BMP's SharePoint framework React Carousel Control. So this is one of the controls which are available through the BMP SPFX controls, and how you can modify that and improve that. So really cool improvement on there as well. So autoplay added there. Tiles view formatting, thumbnail along the description and keywords. So how can you do no code, right? No code. Modification of
the defined code.
Yeah, exactly.
Because the moment you scroll down, there you go.
Yeah, here we go.
No code.
No code. It's JSON. Come on, it's not code.
Yeah, I mean, try to debug this. All right, you can. Because it isn't code, right?
Fair point. Fair point. This one, styling Office UI Fabric components from Shao Mendes, related on how do you do the styling, how do you modify the styling, how can you modify the rendering of components and with class names. So really cool stuff as well. And this one is from Yannick again. So during these 3 weeks we were off, there was quite a few articles coming from a certain group of people. SharePoint Framework React debug versus production builds, and really around the fact that what do we actually bundle in, what are the stuff getting included, what not, and what is the differences. So good blog post. Quite a long one as well, related on those differences. Jarbars had another one as well, copying files between Microsoft Teams using Microsoft Graph. So basically creating Microsoft Azure applications using the Azure AD, copying then the logic, so the files between the different assets or the different teams. So using Graph, so a Teams endpoint. This one is from Paolo. Is he still angry? No. Not really.
Optimistic.
Getting more relaxed. So he's getting more relaxed. So just for those who don't actually know, and this is an ongoing joke what we do with Paolo, and he's a good friend of ours. So we're not definitely insulting him, but he used to look so official on his videos.
They really concentrate. Yes, because
exactly.
Like, it's hard to, it's a true art to be able to stand in front of camera and talk about something and then really control your emotion and appearance. Yes. And it's, yeah.
That is true. That's true. But yeah, good video related on provisioning teams with PowerShell. So how you can do that and what are the options and what's being supported. And this one is then from 24th of December. So a Christmas gift from Joanna Klein related on demystifying labels in Office 365. So if you haven't read this and you want to understand the, let's say, document management side of the house and how we are evolving the labeling model across actually the Office 365, really great blog post from her related on settings. What do they actually mean? What are the differences? Where do end user actually see these labels and all of that? So as an example, it relates on the Office clients as well. So really cool. Good stuff.
Yep.
But that's it for the article side of the house. Pretty relatively fast list of going through and going through on the things. Teams is trying to tell me something, but anyway, every single day there's something new in Teams, and that's the fun thing when you're using eDoc. So
yeah,
sorry, dog fooding. But that's it. Now we're back in business. It's 2020. We will get back on the weekly recording on Mondays, typically with visitors. There's new MVPs who were just getting acknowledged or credited last week as well.
Awarded.
So we'll probably get some of those in the as a visitor on the show as well. So Hugo, Yannick, and Joel will ping you sooner or later on that one as well. So those
and
were the ones
people
that
as well.
In Office Dev and in the other teams as well. So, but if you're interested of seeing somebody as a visitor, please let us know because that would be highly interested on knowing. We do want to have a visitor, or if there's specific topics which you want us to talk about, please let us know. We would be highly interested on that as well. Anything else from your side, Valdek? What's you going to do this week?
Before I jump into that, I have one more prediction for this year. SP Dev Weekly becomes M365 Dev Weekly.
We should do the change sooner or later. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
That's on us, huh?
Yeah, I think we need to. Maybe we should have actually been smarter when we started the podcast and the series. But hey, it is what it is.
Again,
and
like
there's anyway, there's an awesome show already done by Jeremy Fake and Paul Schaffeling related on Microsoft 365 development as well. So,
right.
But it's a slightly different perspective, slightly different view. So, well, I think there's room for two of us. So.
Yeah. Anyway, so this week, what I'm going this week? Well, I'm back to work. So there are some things to pick up where I left. I will be building some stuff, which is always fun.
Yeah.
We are working on new things for CLI. So that is still in progress. We have just released a new version. And we're working on another one, which I think will come really soon. Basically, the moment there is a new version of SPFX, we'll have a new version that allows you to upgrade the projects that you have built in the past to a new version of SPFX. Other than that, I will still keep thinking about the master plans, how to do things, what else can we do at Rancor, strategy and planning, big picture, small picture. So that is a permanent... That has a permanent place on my plate.
Yeah. Endless to-do list on planning things.
yes.
Yeah.
And it's fun because it's kind of this endless thing, basically the same thing you often say, like, imagine there was no limit on resources and money. What would you do? And then you scale things out. Given the thing, how can you execute on that with limited resources? What if you had the half? What if you had the half of the half? And so forth and so on. And then you basically, okay, so this is your action plan, right? So it's interesting perspective to think about things like, where do we want to go? What are things happen in the market, in the community, where people go, where are the gaps? How can we assist them? So, and one of the big areas I will be thinking more about is, how could we help Microsoft developers, so not only SharePoint, but maybe longer term walls also in a space of Azure with Azure Functions, Logic Apps as well, and so forth, how could we help these developers work more effectively and efficiently. So it's a pretty broad thing, and I'm interested. I'm looking around, like, what is available there already? What are the gaps? What are challenges? I have some ideas. But if you are a developer or if you lead development team and you have some ideas of what would help you simplify your life, do reach out to me.
Yep. And also from a guidance perspective and open source perspective, reach out to me as well. So because we're highly interested on helping people to be successful. So because that's what we want to do. We want to make sure that Microsoft is your friend. We will help you to succeed and hopefully make a chilling amount of money, maybe if that's your objective, or spending more time with your family by being more efficient on your work. So because that's how we want to be as a company nowadays. So I think it's helping everybody to succeed. Everybody will be happy. It's a win-win. So it's simple as that. So, but I think that's it for the 2020. Some predictions, some massive amount of articles. And thank you everybody for being active on the community. We are back in the weekly schedule. So we'll have a new SBW weekly within a week. Same bat channel or something. I don't know.
What?
No, never mind. Same channel, same bad time, whatever it is. Same bad channel, same bad time.
I have no idea what you're
saying. They used to say back in the Batman, when the Batman was a TV series, they used to end all of the Batman TV series.
You mean in
the
60s or 70s?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not that old. I wasn't even born then, so sorry.
Yeah, me neither.
Oh, but you mean by then, only when you were young, Batman arrived to Finland, and it was like, yes, I'm watching that.
Something like that. Yeah, whatever. But see you in a week. Cheers. Thanks, everybody. Cheers. Bye. Let's stay in touch. Bye-bye.